The question today is, what are the husband and wife's obligation to each other? Well, this is the third part of this series that we're dealing with. We said, first of all, that the husband and wife's obligation to each other is mutual. In other words, a mutual obligation to love one another, to trust one another. We also began yesterday dealing with the moral obligation that they have to, and that is to each other as well. But there's a moral obligation, and that is to be honest and to be faithful. Now, if we love each other, we'll be honest. If we trust each other, we'll be faithful. We spoke of that yesterday. But there's also more moral obligation, especially the husband has to their wives. The husband has a moral obligation to teach their wives spiritual things. Now, I know we're in a mess in America. I understand that. We're a mess in our churches today. We've got it, America, we've got it backwards. You see, women go to church and learn the Bible and then try to get their husbands to go to church. A lot of things in this society makes it look like it's sissy to go to church, but not so. Hey, folks, did you know we're programmed wrong? It's the husband's responsibility to lead and to teach their wives. Jesus did that for the church. Now, just before he was about to leave, he left them instructions. He provided spiritual instruction in chapter 12 through chapter 17. And, of course, he prayed for them in John chapter 17. But in John chapter 12 through chapter 16, he told of persecution, how to relate to the world, how to relate to each other, told them of their mission. He told them of their responsibility. As head of the church, he met his obligation to provide spiritual instruction. And therefore, we're the head. As husbands, we're the head. And we have an obligation to teach our wives. And every wife needs spiritual instruction from the husband. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34 through 35, he said, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it's not permitted for them to speak, but they're commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. For if they'll learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." In other words, that's talking about in context. They were having a tongue problem, and so as a result, he told them to be quiet. The women were the cause of that problem, but he still told the husband to ask your husband. In other words, you need not to usurp authority in the churches. Now, that doesn't mean you can't sing songs. That doesn't mean you can't sing specials or you can't speak as testimony time when the preacher asks you that. You're still under his authority at that time. You're not usurping authority. Some people see it differently, but that's not so, you see. But listen, men, we have a responsibility. We have an obligation, and most men feel intimidated. We have an obligation to teach our wives God's life principles, the spiritual things. In other words, the problem is that most of us feel inadequate because we never took time to equip ourselves. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You see, men, we've not studied. Let's be honest about it. We've been so busy making a living and not how to live. You see, we need to know how to live, and that's from God's word. Study does become wearisome. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes 12:12, basically it says it'll wear you out. It's wearisome to the body. But you say, my upbringing had an effect on me the way I am. And it's true, but that still doesn't change your responsibility. Proverbs deal with life principles, and we need to study them. And that's really what Jude 20 says, building yourself up on the most holy faith that he spoke about that we need to do. On your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. In other words, we have a responsibility to teach our wives life principles. And then we've got a responsibility to teach our wives how to solve problems with the Word of God. I'm talking about a moral obligation. A moral obligation, which in turn causes both parents to be able to teach their children. Now, we're suffering in this area because we wasn't taught. Now, I understand that. And that's not dishonoring my parents, but we wasn't taught. And they wasn't taught. The question is, are we going to fail to teach our wives? And then we as parents teach our children how to solve problems with the Word of God? You see, we have more truth, more light than any generation around, I'd say today. At least we've got all of that. And if we don't teach our children and our grandchildren, they're not going to have a chance of a snowball in this old world we live in. Now, which is more important, teaching them to shoot hoops, or hit a baseball, play games, or teaching them the Word of God? I'm talking about mama's teaching wife first, your moral responsibility, but then the wife and husband teaching your children. You see, don't leave it to the public schools. They don't know where you came from, why we're here, or where we're going. They don't know that. They can't say we came from a monkey, and they don't know why we're here. We're here to glorify God. They don't know where we're going. But there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. So you need to have family devotions. You need to meet that responsibility in the home. If you don't have family devotions, you're doing your family an injustice. Now, I know I'm not adequate. I know I don't do it like I should. But we have a lot of tools. We'd be glad to help you give something where you can, as husbands, can meet your moral obligation of having a family altar. If you don't have that, you see, your children not going to grow up with fuel for fire. There's not going to be anything for God to build on. The chances of them being saved are going to be slim. Now, the Bible instructs us about every problem. And therefore, you'll need to establish your spiritual lead. And you'll never do it until you equip yourself. And it takes time to meet your obligation, but it's better than losing your wife. Now, she may not leave the home, but you see, you may still be together, but you may lose her respect, her affection, and her devotion if you fail to meet your responsibility, your moral obligation. If you fail, she just may get independent and say, "Why do I need him?" Folks, every wife needs spiritual leadership. You see, the responsibility lies heavier on the male than it does on the female. I mean on the husband than on the wife. You see, the initiative should come from the husband. I'm talking about leadership. Wives ought never have to suggest to tithe or go to church on Wednesday night or Sunday night. The husband ought to be one that would say, "Hey, we're going. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." You see, you forfeit your leadership if you do not provide the initiative. But also the example should come from the husband. Or not lay in bed while the wife goes to Sunday school and say, "Well, just maybe you'll come to church." You ought to be an example in going to church, giving in church. Your lifestyle, your conversation, your manner of living, your habits, and so forth. You ought to be an example in that. She knows you better than anyone else. She knows you better than the preacher does. And your life at home 6 days a week must match lip on Sunday morning. And if you don't, you've got a problem. I heard a story one time about a man who died, and they, of course, like a lot of preachers, preach everybody into heaven today. Makes no difference what kind of life they live. The man was carrying on like this man in the casket was going to heaven and how good a Christian he was and so forth. And the son asked the mother, said, "Mama, is that our daddy in that casket?" Because he'd lived with him 6 days a week, or really seven, and he knew that his life didn't match up to what that preacher was saying. Ought to be, first of all, the initiative should come from the husband, the example should come from the husband, and the spiritual decision-making should arise with the husband. Now, you need to discuss them. Yes, but the final word is his, because he's responsible to God. Now, you start following Christ's example and commands, and you'll have a happy wife, and she'll fall in line with you, and just stop excusing yourself, and start obeying the Bible, and she'll respond. If she gets spiritual leadership, she'll be glad to be in submission. So there's a moral obligation. First of all, the husband has to the wife. Then the wife has a moral obligation to their husband. And that's to provide their needs. Now, that obligation is not talking about in the way of sexually. It's just talking about, first of all, the physical needs, in other words. And by the way, your obligation is related to the well-being of your husband. And that's why you was created for the man. The Bible says in Genesis 2:18, "Not good man be alone. I'll make an helpmeet for him." You were created for the man. And a wife's most noble achievement or activity will be those revolving around her husband if she's married. That's the noblest achievement. In fact, I believe one day, if you're married, one day you're going to be judged by how well you've been a helpmeet to your husband. And so you need to know that. The Bible says in the book of Titus chapter 2, in the first five verses, it talks about how to train, what a woman should be like, what the men should be like. But it said wives are to be keepers at home. Keepers at home. And so therefore, you see, women worked in the factory alongside men, and God never intended for that to be. He wanted you to be at home and fulfill the most noble achievement in your life, and that's revolving around your husband. And you'll be judged for that one day and have to give an answer for that one day if you're married. Now, it doesn't mean a woman can't have her own interests. There's no other human relationship more intimate than a man and his wife. If a husband will meet his responsibility and fulfill the need in his wife, then she'll meet his needs. Animals couldn't do it for Adam. Genesis 2:20 said they brought all the animals by. And you realize something? He wasn't playing zoo he was playing who. But none of them were equal. He could not find a helpmeet among the animals. That ought to stop evolution. But you see, the wife is able, if the husband meet his responsibility and fulfill the need of his wife, then she'll be able to meet his needs. And of course, that physical needs is the first thing. And I'm talking about providing regular meals is what it amounts to. 1 Timothy 5:13, he said, and with all they learned to be idle. He's talking about the widows in the church, young widows. He said, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. In Titus chapter 2, verse number 3 through verse number 5, again we'll read these because a little repetition doesn't hurt a thing. He said that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior such as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, and to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, you say, what do you mean? I'm talking about providing regular meals, keepers at home. Your wife a good cook? Well, somebody said she does pretty good on microwave TV dinners, but some are too busy watching the soap operas to fix their husband's meal. And what they really do, they watch as the stomach churns and Satan's place. You'll get that after a while. But even if at home, that's what they do. And one time a lady come to church and they're having prayer requests, and she prayed for somebody, and all the people in the church didn't know who it was, and said he's sick, nigh unto death. And she was crying about this man that was nigh unto death, sick, and come to find out it was somebody on a soap opera that didn't even exist. And she had prayer requests at church for that. Lord help. We're in a mess when people do that. But ladies, you don't need to watch all those things. In fact, it'd be better off if you turn it off. And it may be the husband's fault that you are like you are for not showing love. For instance, you don't fix the meals like you should. It could be that the first time you got married, you fixed the meals, you come in a crying. You say, what's wrong? He says, what's wrong? He said, I burnt the biscuits. Well, you say, well, at least there's biscuits there, we could say. But you know, he got you in his arm, and he said, honey, that's all right. I love you, burnt biscuits or no burnt biscuits. And then later on, maybe you burnt the beans and said the same thing. And he said the same thing. But now, 20 years later down the road, you burned something. And he says, what, can't you do any better than that? In other words, what's the matter? You messed up again? And so, therefore, it's creating a problem. But you have a responsibility to meet his needs for providing regular meals. We'll continue with this later on Ask the Pastor. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.